Okay, so some of you know that I used to work with Lambs International, but I now have a very interesting job working with the University of Western Sydney in their School of Medicine. And I thought before I tell you how we're using Lambs, I'd give you a bit of a background into medical education, because it's quite different, a quite different style of education to something that I've come across before. So generally, e-learning in medicine, I've discovered that most medical schools are very technology friendly, and they've been using course management systems for a long time to manage their course content and to distribute information, changes in timetables and so on. And even quite a few medical schools have developed their own content management systems or learning management systems. The technology is used a lot in simulation, so simulating whether a patient is having a heart attack and how the students would react to that. And there's heaps and heaps of examples of specialist content websites, cancer websites, and of course medical journals. So doctors and technology go hand in hand. And here's just a quick example of how we're using e-learning at the moment. In our course, we're using WebCT Campus Edition 6, or VUES, as UWS has now rebranded it, Virtual UWS. And the students get their course information on a week-by-week basis. Another interesting thing about medicine and technology, education I find, is that there's actually usually a medical education unit specialising in course development and course management for the School of Medicine. So we're very privileged that there are people dedicated to improving the course and finding new innovative ways to do it within the school. And not, I realise not all schools have that input from, and so it's been a great pleasure to work with the medical education unit. Part of the reason for medical education units being in existence, in my understanding, is because medical education has been going through a lot of change recently. So things such as a 7-year undergraduate course is now becoming a 5 or 6-year undergraduate course. You don't have to go into medicine straight from school anymore, you can do it as a graduate medical student, and that's a 4-year course. So what we're finding is that there are rapid changes to the way that medicine is taught. There's less, fewer years to teach it in. There's more content. So as research occurs in the scientific community, we have more understanding about the scientific basis of disease, and doctors obviously have to know about that. And then pharmaceutical companies are also pumping out new treatments for those diseases. The other major change in medical education is problem-based learning. And just an example of how we use problem-based learning, the students on Monday are given a trigger. So a patient comes in, a virtual patient comes in with a problem. The students brainstorm, what's wrong with this patient? Why has she got stomach ache? Is it a virus? Is it cancer? Is it something else? And after that brainstorming, they might be given more history or some clinical results. And then they go away and think about what they need to learn more about that patient so that they can diagnose her properly. And the lecture series for that week will be highly integrated into that problem that they were presented with that tutorial on the Monday. So they might get a lecture on the anatomy of the stomach, for example, if she's got a stomach ache. On the Friday, then they use all that acquired knowledge from the week to diagnose the patient and to also discuss the mechanisms behind why she got that stomach pain. That's years 1 to 2. The latter half of a student's education medicine is clinical rotations, and that occurs in hospitals, specialist clinics, general practice clinics, your local GP, or community health services such as Aboriginal Health Services. The students are sent out to all these different places simultaneously, so they could be in different rotations at the same time. Some students might be learning about cancer while other students are doing a paediatrics rotation. That education happens on site by the clinicians. And then the students will be brought back to the university 2 or 3 times a week to do lectures on campus for the scientific basis of disease. those lectures don't necessarily always reflect what they're learning in their rotations, however. So they could be learning about the anatomy of the eye in a scientific lecture, but still be learning about pediatrics on their clinical rotation. Medical education doesn't stop once you graduate as a doctor. Doctors are now being taught to be lifelong learners. Again, because of increasing research into disease, they need to keep on keep up to date with what's happening, what the best evidence for the treatment of something might be. A lot of that learning occurs out of hours, and now a lot of that learning is occurring online and is provided by specialist colleges such as the Royal Australian General Practice, Royal Australian College of General Practice, and they've got online modules. Just an example of what you might see if you logged onto that. So in medical education, we have to balance two things. We need to be able to develop flexibly deliver a lot more content than we used to, and so students need to be able to access that content easily. And we also need to teach them some adult skills in learning, so that they can continue to learn once they've graduated. And online learning or e-learning is ideal for that process. Just a quick background to UWS Medicine. It's a brand new school of medicine. It started this year with their first intake of students. It's a 5-year undergraduate degree, so most of our students come straight from high school. They spend 2 years on campus learning about the scientific basis of our medicine with some clinical contact as well. And then they spend 3 years on clinical rotations. And because it's a brand new course, it's an excellent opportunity for innovation in designing that curriculum. Just a picture of the students. They've just won the Vampire Cup for donating the most blood out of any of the Sydney-based medical schools, which is great because there's only 1 year of them compared to all the other schools which have their full cohorts. I'm going to specifically be talking about their years 3 to 5 because that's where we're going to be using LAMS. The students, while they're on clinical rotations, are going to be taught their scientific basis component of the course online, and that will be divided into 9 modules, 3 modules of which must be completed per year. So if they are doing oncology in their clinical rotation, hopefully they can study the oncology, the basic sciences behind that oncology at the same time. If they're doing paediatrics, hopefully they can study genes, growth and development at the same time. So they won't be coming back for lectures to campus. Those two streams are going to be supplemented by conference weeks. I'm not sure if it's twice or 3 times a year, but they will be having some face-to-face contact 3 times a year, 2 times a year with lecturers, etc., to learn the things that can't be taught online or can't be taught in clinical rotations. In our online modules, we really wanted to pursue what I think are ideal medical education learning principles, that is active learning, so the students apply what they're learning to real-life problems or case-based learning, that learning is self-directed and self-paced, and they have lots of opportunity for reflection. The modules will be 25 hours each, so each of these 9 modules will be 25 hours of content. And most people seem to be dividing that into 5 hours of per case. So, 5 cases of 5 hours each. And we are going to get the students to log in through Views. So, when LAMS has been integrated into Views, into WebCT, we can do that quite easily. The content for the modules is written by content experts, which you'll hear me use a lot for the next few minutes. And these are the clinicians, doctors, or scientific experts that are expert in that field. So an oncologist would be doing the cancer module, etc. In our modules, I'm going to attempt to use learning design templates. So, give the doctors or the content experts a sequence of activities that they might choose to use to structure their module on. And there's several reasons for that. The content experts on the whole are not e-learning experts, so they are not they're not used to doing things online, and we need to give them a quick way to sort of get going. The template gives them examples of possible activities that they might do. As Paul had his experiences, the lecturers are mostly used to just giving presentations using their voice, but they're not necessarily used to using collaborative activities online. We want to help create a level of uniformity and quality between the modules so that a certain standard has to be achieved in each module. And hopefully, some good pedagogical design, which I hopefully will provide. There are several decisions to use LAMS. Because we want to model the modules on case-based learning, problem-based learning style, that really needs a scaffolded style of learning that the students are taken through activities step by step. They can't skip ahead to things or move around too much. They need to complete a task before they continue, so they can't find out what's wrong with the patient before they've even begun. And we feel that LAMS does that really well. And WebCT, it can be made to do that, but I don't think it does it as easily as LAMS. It doesn't stop the students from moving ahead in activities. And also, LAMS just lends itself to sharing learning design templates. You can export things, you can reuse them, you can share them. And again, WebCT, I think you could force it to do that, but it's just not as easy as in LAMS. So these learning design templates were presented at a curriculum workshop to the content experts, and they were also made available as a Word document because I didn't know yet who those content experts would be, so I couldn't log them in to their own accounts for LAMS. And that's just an example of what I showed at that conference. It was basically an empty shell of learning activities, and I described how those activities might work. You can see that I used, I wanted them to do, in learning activities, I wanted them to give some scientific content first and then test the students on that and then present the case study. I showed them how it might look in LAMS. I had to do quite a bit of talking about how LAMS works and how things look. So this is just the notice board showing you can have images or video and text. I showed them how you can frame a resource within LAMS so that you can take students through a resource step by step. In this case, the Bureau of Statistics has an awful lot of information and you want to be able to point the students to what they need quickly. Some of the challenges that I had. So initially when I started, I thought I would have all the answers straight away. That's not going to be the case. My vision is not going to be the same vision as the content experts, and we need to sort of work to a happy medium as what would work. I needed to see some content, so this is a completely unwritten course, so I needed to know what those people wanted to be teaching, and I've never taught medicine in years 3 to 5, so I had to see some of the content that they wanted to present. And that's been fast in some areas, but it's been quite slow in others because the modules aren't going to be used until 2009. So some people think they have lots of time to develop the content. I've been on a time, a different time scale to them. Because most of the content experts are clinicians, they are off campus, so it's been quite hard to access them and talk about learning my learning designs when they're off at hospitals doing this in their spare time, which is not necessarily when I'm around. And that's just content experts wanted to include lots of clinical diagnostic steps. Because they are clinicians, they're tending to want to put in lots of steps of diagnosis and differential diagnosis. So you get some information, you decide what the diagnosis might be, you get some more information, you refine your diagnosis, you get some more information, and so on. So it makes the module a lot longer. At the same time, I think there's a need for more scientific content because we're not replacing the clinical rotations, we're replacing the scientific component of the course. The early outcomes, so with my interaction with the content experts, I found they've been very positive towards LAMS, surprisingly so. I thought they would be all wanting to get somebody else to do the e-learning side and just work maybe in a Word file and show me what the content was and get me to do it. But on the whole, they've all wanted to see LAMS and learn how to use LAMS themselves. And I think that's due to the visual representation of the learning design. So they can really start to see how, in LAMS authoring, how their content starts to flow and how it builds up and progresses. They like being able to drag and drop their content around so they can mix it up. They're not happy with the order of things, and they really enjoy previewing their work, so they get to see quite quickly a result of how their work would look online. So they're typing some content, they add a picture, and they've got their online stuff happening already. Another funny point was that I've had to train a lot of personal assistants and junior staff, the registrars. These senior clinicians don't necessarily want to do all the work themselves, and they're getting some of their junior staff to do the work. So they will do the thought processes, and then they'll get their junior staff to work in LAMS, and those staff will work with me to refine things, and then the clinicians will come back and point their finger at what they want. So this is my latest version of a learning design template. I've learned some lessons, so I now know that from oncology that writing down the prerequisite knowledge for the course is really helpful in setting the tone of what the module's going to be all about, and that content, prerequisite knowledge, can be tested in quizzes or reflective questions. I've learned that they want the case study to come first, not the scientific content, and that that case study needs a differential diagnosis. So if anybody's watched House, if a patient comes in immediately, House and his team go to the whiteboard and they start writing down different potential diagnoses and deciding what one's most likely. I've added emphasis on scientific basis, resources, and so on. The other thing I learned is that they not really happy with just an empty shell of a template. There were like some real things inside it to sort of guide them through what they're doing in that template. So here I've suggested for learning objectives, a way that they could present it. Very simple module title here, put your image there, add your text there, etc. This is my attempt to show them that they need to improve the scientific content of the resources, and starting to make suggestions now that they'd might do a podcast with slides, and that gets them into the frame of mind of giving a lecture, of giving content back rather than clinical examples, which is what they're tending to do. They can use a combination of resources. Obviously, there would be excellent review articles and journals, websites, and so on. So finally, some reflections. I found the process is much more iterative than I thought it would be. So we keep on making changes based on how we, the lessons that we're learning. The content experts need more training than expected because they're using LAMS more, and that's quite a pleasure. And hopefully, I'm sure with time that training will lessen and my workload will also lessen because they can do it themselves. LAMS has been a really useful space for discussing content, so the visual representation of a course in authoring has been really useful to demonstrate different ideas. And the plan is that the templates should improve efficiency of the content development for future content experts. So at the moment I've been using content experts that have been really keen and really wanting to participate. But remember, there's 9 modules, and each of those modules has 5 cases, and usually different people are doing those 5 cases. So I've had about 5 really proactive people, and now I've got to get the rest of those people to come on board and start doing things. And I think the templates for them, based on some discussions I've had with the first set of content experts that I've pursued and said, come on, you need to start doing stuff, is that they really want a template and they really enjoy the idea of a template. The first set of content experts were pretty much happy to go at it alone and just use LAMS as a blank slate the next generation of content experts will want some real input from, some real help and guidance. So that's it.
Questions for Ron?
Are you doing the training
I started off one-to-one because I was getting people coming in dribs and drabs and sort of saying, oh, I want to do this. And because it's not so easy to line up a bunch of doctors at the same time, I was doing that. But I have now managed to do a few larger sessions of admin assistants and so on that I can teach in groups, and that's been a lot easier. But it helps if they've already developed some content that I can take them through that content one-on-one and sort of start showing them how it goes into LAMS and how it works. Yeah.
Mike? The group training for the actual students of the courses, are these designed for group training, or is it making use of the collaborative learning?
I want to make as much use of it as possible. At the moment, there's some issues about which students will be doing it and when, and whether fifth-year students will be doing it at the same time as third-year students and so on. So until we get that sorted out, it's hard for me to make suggestions, but I really want to have forums and discussions, etc. I think that students will enjoy that more. Yeah.